He said he was cautiously optimistic. I spoke with him late last night. So we don't know yet. All right, Jerome, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Dalid. Yud Dalid, we're going to pick up at the bottom of Yud Gimel on the day. There's a lot of interesting Gemara to do today. Our shir this morning is sponsored by Noah Fine in honor of Eliana's bat mitzvah and Miriam's birthday. We thank Noah very much for his sponsorship. Thank you. And we wish, we'll wish to find the taste of Shalom later in your session. Okay, so we left off Yud Gimel on the base, three lines up from the bottom. So remember, we had a Braisa that we have a Gemara that is trying to figure out that when an individual is fasting, where does the individual insert Anenu? Is Anenu between the brachos of Goel and Rofe, or is Anenu inserted as part of Shema Kolenu? Essentially, the fundamental question is, when an individual is fasting, does an individual generate an obligation for a separate self-standing bracha, or does an individual only recite the bracha within Shema Kolenu? That's the fundamental question the Gemara is dealing with. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that perhaps again, that in the first set of fasts and the second set of fasts, there's a regular Chazaras HaShatz, and the Chazaras HaShatz of 24 brachos is not recited. So three lines up from the bottom, the Gemara says, below, is that true? Vatani, we learned, Ein Bein Gimel Shnios L'Shev Achronos. There is no distinction between the middle three fasts. So remember, just the model of fasting we have is you have first a set of three fasts, then if it still doesn't rain, a second set of three fasts, and if it still doesn't rain, a third set of more intense seven fasts. So the Gemara says, we learned in a Braisa, there's no distinction between the second set of three to the last set of seven. Except in the last set of seven, we go ahead, masrin literally means we blow the shofar, although we'll examine that later on, and we close up the stores. But regarding everything else, they are equal, or they are the same, which indicates that lemaisa, again, we are reciting 24 brachos, even in the second set of fasts. So maybe you'll say, no, it's not true. Maybe there is a distinction. But again, the Braisa chose not to discuss or not to state all of the distinctions. But yet again, the Braisa itself says there is no distinction. You're telling me that every time it says there is no distinction, that literally means there's no distinction. Top of Yudala. But yet there is a clear distinction, and that's what? In that in the last set of seven fasts, something is done that is not done in the previous fast, which is that we move the Aron Kodesh out to the street, and we daven out in the street. And yet again, that's not explicitly stated in the Braisa, to which the Gemara says, Imishum teva lav shiuruhu. The truth is, the Gemara says, if that's what you're bringing up, that's not really something that was left out. Why? Mili betzina katani, because the Gemara simply says the Braisa was only discussing things that were done, quote unquote, privately. Things that were done in public, like the moving of the Aron into the street, the Braisa does not discuss. Ravashi is, the truth is, the Mishnah even supports this idea as well. Diktani, as we learned. Diktani. Ma ilu. Yiseros al Rishonos, how are these fast days even more intense than the previous ones? Elo shebe'elu masriyen v'no'alin asachanuyos, in these, referring really to the last seven, we go ahead and we blow the shofar. No'alin asachanuyos means we close up the stores. Aval b'chol divrehen ze v'zeh shavin. But regarding everything else, this last set of seven fast days is the same as the previous. Maybe you'll see over here that again the Braisa did not include everything. But yet again, it says in the Braisa explicitly that regarding everything else, they are the same. But the Gemara says, but that can't be true, because again, we see, for example, that there are distinctions that are not explicitly stated by the Braisa. For example, again, just restating what we said before, the moving of the Aron out into the street, which is done in the last set of fast days, but is not done in the previous ones. Im yishum teva, if you're going to be talking about the moving of the Aron, lav shiurahu, that's not called something missing from the Braisa. Mishum deka chashiv lebi idach pirka, because at the end of the day, the discussion about moving the Aron into the street is actually a discussion that we have in our next week's parak, to which the Gemara says, Hashta the Asas Lachi, now that you've given this answer, Arbo'im Esrim Va'arba'a Nami Lav Shiurahu, Diktana Lebi Idech Pirka. So we'll say, now that you're telling me that again, that we don't have to include things in this price that are going to be mentioned in the next parak, so I could speak about again also the 24 brachos, that it could be the reason that the 24 brachos are not mentioned here simply because they will be discussed more prominently in the next parak. Fine. So the Gemara says, my haviyala, bottom line, what do we do? And you know, both say, we began with a very simple question and it became a more complicated discussion. The simple question was, at the end of the day, if an individual is fasting, what does he do about Aninu? Does he insert it between the bracha of Goel and Rofe, or does he insert it in Shema Kolenu? So at the end of the day, this is the discussion, this is the question under discussion. We got a little bit sidetracked. We're trying to figure out the distinctions between the various fasts. But Lamaisa now, we're looping back. Halacha Lamaisa, what do we do in this circumstance? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Sas Ritoi, V'chin Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Bein Goa L'Rofe. So I'll say the first opinion says that the Yochid, the individual, inserts Anenu, just like the Tzibor inserts Anenu between Goel and Rofe. Rav Ashi says, Mishmei D'Rab Yanei B'Rab Rabbi Shmuel, On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, no, we put it in Shema Kolenu, B'Hilchasa, and I will say, what is the halacha? B'Shomei Atfila. So most of the way the Gemara ends off is that the Gemara seems to indicate that Lemaisa, whenever an individual is fasting, individual always inserts Anenu within Shema Kolenu. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Tani Chada. I will say, now the Gemara is going to record three different rulings. So in one brisa we learned, ubros umenikos mis anos. So in one brisa we learned that ubros are women, pregnant women, menikos are nursing women, mis anos fast, berishonos, they fast in the first set of fasts, ve'im mis anos ba'achronos, but they do not fast in the latter fasts. Okay, Betanya Idach. Here another brayse that says Mis Anos Ba'achronos Ve'im Mis Anos Berishonos. Both another brayse that says what? They fast in the latter fasts, but they do not fast in the earlier fasts. Okay, Betanya Idach. And then we have a third brayse, Ein Mis Anos Lo Berishonos Ve'lo Ba'achronos. And we both say a third brayse says what? They do not fast in the earlier fasts, nor do they fast in the latter fasts. So again, one brice is saying they fast in the earlier, don't fast in the latter. Second brice, they fast in the latter, don't fast in the earlier. Third brice said, don't fast in the earlier or the latter. So we'll say, what's going on over here? Amar Rav Ashi, nakut emtsa'isa biyadecha, dimitartzen kulu. Rav Ashi says, the second brice, is the authoritative one. Why? Because it's able to reconcile with all of the others. So what was the second brice? The second brisa was that Misanos Bachronos and Misanos Barishonos. They fast in the latter fast, but do not fast in the earlier fast. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Nakot mitzi isya biyadecha, kilomar tarit dibishalosh and soios hayu misanin. Umetartzos kulhu hanach masnisa. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rashi wants to suggest the following. Rashi says that second brisa that says that they fast in the latter fast and not in the earlier fast is the authoritative one, and it's ultimately able to reconcile with the other two. How so? So the way Rav Ashi is understanding that statement of they fast in the latter fast, what do the latter fasts refer to? It refers to the middle three fasts. Remember again, we have a total of 13 fasts. So first three, if it still doesn't rain, second three, and if it still doesn't rain, last seven. Rav Ashi is suggesting that when the Braisa says they fast in the latter fast, but not in the earlier fast, the latter fast actually refers to the second set of three. They fast in the second set of three. And Rav Ashi says like this. Therefore, again, that reconciles with all the Braisos. How so? Hadiktani barishonos v'lo b'achronos. The first Braisa that says that they fast in the first set of fasts, and they are staying in the earlier fast and not in the latter fast. Hanach rishonos la rishonos mamish. When it says they fast in the earlier fast, it doesn't literally mean the earlier ones. Ella em tsaios de inhu havu rishonos la achronos. Rather, when it says they fast in the earlier fast, it means they fast in this earlier fast that precede the last set of fasts, i.e., the middle three. The middle three. The inhu havu rishonos achronos. But the pregnant and nursing women do not fast the last seven fasts. Because since there are seven fasts, it would not be healthy for pregnant or nursing women to fast. And when the Braisa said they fast in the latter fast and not in the earlier fast, Hana achronos and soyos ninu, varishonos rishonos mamish. Latter fast means the ones that come after the first set, which means the second set of three. The aim is anin bahen, the lo takif rugza kolihai. And we don't want women to fast in the first set of fasts. Why? Because again, the situation is not as dire yet. Because again, it's only rain is only, we're only a little bit behind the eight ball with the rain. Therefore, again, because it's not so dire, we don't want the women fasting. The pregnant women fasting, pregnant nursing women fasting. So we'll say what comes out from this Rashi, according to Rashi, is the following idea. Essentially, what all the Braisos are really in agreement. And what they're saying is that Lemaisa, we have pregnant and nursing women fast only the second set of three. What's the logic behind that? For the first set of three, we're not going to have to fast because the situation is not dire enough to actually call upon the pregnant and nursing women to fast. The last set of seven, ultimately, again, that's too much for the pregnant and nursing women, which ultimately leaves us with the second set of three fasts. That should, chas v'shalom, the need arise for the community to fast, we will ask pregnant and nursing women to fast as part of the community for those fasts as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ma'ili yisiros al rishonos, al sheve ilu masrim v'nolin asachonios. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that when it comes to the last set of seven fasts, are more intense than the previous ones in two ways. Number one, the Mishnah said that we masriyin. Now masriyin, we don't know exactly what that means yet. Let's assume for a moment it means blowing the shofar. Masriyin and v'nolin asachonos. We close the stores. We close the civil food stores. I'm talking about. We close the stores. So the Gemara says, "B'mai masriyin? What are we masriyin with? Right? What exactly? What are we sounding?" So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shofros. It means that we blow the shofar." But Rabbi Yehuda prayed, "Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei Drav Amar Ba'anenu." He says, "No, masriyin actually refers to the fact that what we cry out with anenu. We're not blowing, not necessarily blowing the shofar." We're crying out with anenu. Kasal gadaitcha man damar ba'anenu lo amar b'shofros. We assumed at first glance that the one who holds that masriyin means we call out with anenu, he means anenu, and we don't blow the shofar. Uman damar b'shofros, and the one who says that we blow the shofar, lo amar ba'anenu, would not say that there's an obligation to recite anenu. Ay v'hatanya, but we learned. Ein pochasin nisheva ta'anios ala tzibor, shebahen yudches hasros. But we learned that we do not have less than seven fasts. It's not the last set of fasts. Less than seven fasts for the lack of rain. And during those times, we have 18 hasros, the similar davar. And if you want to remember Yericho, if you want to remember what to do, remember Yericho. They will say, what happened with Yericho? Jews entered Yericho. They circled the city. And what happened? They blew the shofar. And the walls of Yericho came down. So therefore, what do you see from here? The Yericho shofros hava. And you see, we remember again that Yericho, the way that Yericho, the walls came down was through the shofar. So you see over here that what? That when the Braisa says hasros, hasros refers to the blowing of the shofar. V'tiyufta lamando amra aninu. And therefore, again, this refutes the idea, or this refutes the opinion of the one who says that masriyin means aninu. Ella b'shofros tekuli amalo pligi tekari lehasra. Rather, again, I will say everyone agrees that the blowing of the shofar is called hasra, a vashon of trua. Ki pligi ba'anenu. Where do they argue when it comes to anenu? Mar savar kari lehasra. One opinion says that that's also called a hasra. That's also called trua. Umar savar lo kari lehasra. And the other opinion says no, that's not called hasra. Lemanda amar ba'anenu kol shekin b'shofros. So the Rosh, the one who says that we recite Anenu also agrees that we blow the shofar. Ulaman don b'shofros, but the one who says that we blow the shofar on the public fast days, Abab Anenu lo, would, however, doesn't necessarily agree that you have to recite Anenu. Ay, v'hatanya, but we learned in the Braisa, u'sha'ar komine paranios hamisrakshos, we'll say with all other types of misfortune that come upon the world. Keep going, for example, Chichuch, we'll say chichuch literally means scratching. So this must be some kind of outbreak of some type of skin disease that is causing people to constantly scratch. Or chagav, an outbreak of locusts, zvuv, flies, tsira, wasps, yitushim, mosquitoes, shiluach, nechoshim, outbreak of snakes, vakravim, scorpions. Lo, so any of these things that happen to society, lo hayu masrin, they would not be, again, I'm just using the word masrin, elat sa'akin, rather they would call out, they would cry out in prayer. Mi ditsa'aka bepeh, the fact that sa'aka, crying out, is done by mouth. Hasra b'shofros, it must be that what? That hasra, masrin, refers to the blowing of the shofar, to which the Gemara says tanoi. In reality, it's a machlokis tanoim. Disanyo, al elu masrin b'shabis. I will say, these are things that were masrin. Again, I'm purposely not defining this word as blowing the shofar, because that's part of the machlokis in the Gemara. These things we were masrin on Shabbos. What are we masrin? What do we call out for on Shabbos? Al ir shikifu agayis, about a city that was surrounded by enemies, O Nahar, or a river that is about to overflow its banks, Va'al Smin Hamiturefes Bayam, or a ship that is in distress in the sea. Rabbi Yossi says, Le Ezra, when it means that we call out, it means that we call out for help. Avalolit Saka, but we don't cry out, in supplicatory prayer on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Bimai. Now, what does this mean? What are we calling out with? Ilema b'shofros, if you want to say again that when it says masrian, we're calling out with the shofar, that can't be why. Shofros b'shabes mishari, is it permitted to sound the shofar on Shabbos? Elalav ba'anenu, rather it must be anenu. Likari le hasra, and yet it is called hasra, calling out. Shmamina, indeed learn from this. So we'll say, what comes out, l'may says the following. What comes out is, when the Mishnah says that on these last 7 days, masrian, so masrian has a twofold meaning. Everyone is agreeing that it automatically means what? Blowing of the shofar. But to take it a step further, what they also understand that word masrian, calling out, refers to is the recitation of anenu. Okay, so bishani de Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya havatzara. I will say in the years of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, there was a distress. There was some type of public tsar. Gozar tlas esrei tanios. He declared 13 fasts. So the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what it is that happened, but there was some type of communal misfortune that was going on. So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya decreed 13 fast days to go ahead and address this misfortune. If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, Gazer Tlisra Tanisa, Kedar Minimum Asnisin, Shalosh Rishonos, Vishalosh Amtsayos, Visheva Achronos, Lashar Peronios, Avid Lahu, Velo Lugisham. So we'll say the issue Rashi points out over here is that this was actually not for a lack of rainfall. Something else was happening. But interestingly enough, the fasting model for rainfall essentially becomes the paradigm for how to deal with other communal misfortunes. So by rainfall, we have this 13 fast model. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya borrowed this model and applied it for this other misfortune. What happened? Below Iani. So we'll say, even after the 13 fasts, so the situation did not change. It literally means they were not answered. Meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam did not go ahead and alleviate the difficulties and misfortunes of the community. Sarva L'migzar Tfei. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya was ready to go ahead and declare more fast days. Amrali Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, Hari Amru, Ein matrichin asatzib or yoser midai. So Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, listen, you know, we have a principle that you cannot go ahead and inconvenience the tzibur too much. You can't do that. You know, 13 fast days is a lot of fast days. You can't do it to the tzibur. To which the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Abba, Breid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, Rabbi Ami da'avid legarmei. Oh, this is very interesting. See, he said, by the way, Rabbi Ami, he was just saying that for himself. Like, Garmehu da'avid. He was just saying to Rabbi Nasiya because he could not fast anymore. So he said, oh, you can't inconvenience the tzibur. But at the end of the day, what he was saying, listen, I've had enough of this stuff. Rashi says over here, Garmeh la'atzmo. Shelo amar el lefishu hu lo haya rotze lehis'anos. That ultimately, again, he said it. Why? He said it because he could no longer fast anymore as a result of this public calamity. When do we have this 13 fast model? That's, or I should say differently, when are we capped at 13 fasts? That's only for rainfall. So the concept is that for rainfall, at a certain point in time, you stop fasting. So you have 13 fast rainfall and no more. However, again, when it comes to other types of calamities, mis'anin v'holchin ad shi'yalu min ha'shamayim. So you keep fasting and fasting until when? Until your situation improves. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers your tefillos. So we'll say it's very interesting. And what the Gemara is suggesting is, as much as the rain model becomes the paradigm for how to address communal situations of need, whereas the rain model is capped at 13 fasts, other calamities or other situations, you continue to fast until the particular issue is addressed. Tiny nami hachli, everybody, so that supports this. Kisha amru shalosh, kisha amru sheva, lo amru elo legishamim. When we spoke about a series of three fasts and then a series of seven fasts, that was only stated regarding rain. Aval shamini pranos, when it comes to other types of misfortunes and difficulties, mis'anin vaholchin ad sheya'anu. We fast and we continue until the tefillos are answered. Lemetevity of Rabbi Ami. So this would seem to refute Rabbi Ami, because again, what did Rabbi Ami say before? Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, enough. We fasted 13 fasts, and there's no more fasting to be done. Amar lacha Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami would say to you, Tanoihi. In reality, I will say it's a machlokes Tanoim. Disanyo. Ein gozrin yosra mishloshes reitanios ala tzibor. We have a brisa that says that you may not declare more than 13 fast days on the tzibor. Why? Lefi, we'll say first wide line on your dalet on the base. Lefi, she matrichen es tzibor yosim idai divrei Rebbe. Because we'll say Rebbe said that you cannot impose undue hardship on the tzibor. Meaning, of course, we need rain. It's not a shiloh, we need rain. But at the end of the day, you can't do something that is just going to create an exceptional tircha, exceptional difficulty on the tzibor.
Rebbe is saying this.
No. Different opinion. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Lo min hashem huzeh." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "No, it's not true. They're actually two dissimilar things." Ella mipnei sheyatsa zman hasharavia. So we'll say, listen to this. The difference over here is, remember, the reason why rain is capped is because, or the reason the fast days for rain are capped is because, remember, at a certain point in time, what? Rain is no longer beneficial. Right? Remember, again, we've seen this, and we'll see it before a little later on in the Gemara. Once Nisan comes, rain is no longer beneficial. Mm-hmm. If rain is no longer beneficial, obviously not going to keep davening for it. But for other communal needs, where, again, the need does not abate, you still need the particular thing, you'll keep on davening, keep on fasting, until ultimately your tefillos are answered.
Who's talking about for rain, even?
I'm sorry?
We're talking about for rain even now?
No, for rain, everyone's agreeing that it's capped at 13. Because again, remember, that's what he's saying over here. Lo min hashem hu zeh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not even directly disagreeing with Rebbe. He's saying, lo min hashem hu zeh. You can't apply the rain model to other situations. Because the rain model, at a certain point in time, rain is no longer beneficial. Other things, again, if you still need it, you keep davening and fasting for it, even if it's a little bit of a tircha. So he's disagreeing. So essentially, the shaila is, does the rain model become the paradigmatic model for all public tzar or not? Rebbe seems to say the answer to that is yes. And for a different reason, he's going to agree that yes, at a certain point in time, rain is no longer beneficial, but he has the concept of tircha de tzibura. Tircha de tzibura says any more than 13 public fast days, you just simply can't do. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will say, I don't know what you're talking about. The public needs it. The only reason rain is capped is because at a certain point in time, rain is no longer beneficial. Take a look at Rashi. Excuse me, let's go back to a little bit, actually. So, Rashi says, So Reb Shimon Leo responds, the reason we stop praying for rain is not because it's too inconvenient for the tzibur to keep davening. That's not the reason we stop. The reason we stop praying for rain is because, again, at a certain point in time, it is simply no longer beneficial for us to have it rain. Sholchu le b'nei Nineveh, Rabbi. So the people of Nineveh, this was after they did Shuvah already, right? So Nineveh was spared. So the people of Nineveh sent a message to Rebbe, Kegon Anan da'afilu b'tekufas tamo. So we'll say, so that kind of stops this discussion. That stops this discussion over here. And I'll tell you, interestingly enough, so the way the Rambam paskins is the Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that halacha l'maisa, rain is capped at 13 fasts. That's the maximum fast we have for rain. And because, again, remember, at a certain point in time, we actually don't want it to rain because it'll become detrimental. However, the way the Rambam paskins is that for other public tzaros, for other public situations, you keep fasting and davening and fasting and davening until when? Until the particular issue is addressed. It is not capped at 13 fasts. We don't care about tircha de tzibura, because at the end of the day, it's a little counterintuitive to say that it's tircha de tzibura to go ahead and fast for something that the tzibur needs. Yes, fasting is always inconvenient. Fasting is never pleasant. But lamaisa, if you need it, you need it. So now the Gemara tells a story. Sholchuluhut, not a story, but an interesting maisa that helps to highlight the halacha. Sholchu le b'nei Nineveh, the Rebbe. So the people of Nineveh sent the following question to Rebbe. Kegon Anon, what about us? Da'afilu b'tkufas tamuz bo'inor mitras. So we'll say, Nineveh, they said, you see, we have different climactic realities than Eretz Yisrael. We need rain even in Tammuz. I will say, if it were to rain in Eretz Yisrael in Tammuz, it's a bad thing. We live in Galus, obviously, and for us, the truth is climactically, so the truth is rain is always beneficial. I mean, too much rain is not good. But Lamais, again, it's not like we have a season where rain is not good. For us, it doesn't work. And Eretz Yisrael, again, if it were to rain in Tammuz, that could actually, for it to rain this time of year, it's actually detrimental. It's detrimental agriculturally. It might be good, you know, for the Kinneret, but it's detrimental agriculturally. So they sent from Nineveh, what about us? We in Nineveh, we need rain in Tammuz. So what's the halacha? Hechi navid, ki yechidim daminan o kirabim daminan. So how should we daven for rain? Should we daven for rain like individuals or like a collective? What does that mean? Kirabim o kirabim daminan, ki yechidim daminan o b'shamei atfila. Should we daven for rain like individuals and therefore only insert it in Shema Yatfila? So essentially what they're asking in Nineveh is, they want to continue to say what? They want to continue to say the same Talu Matur Livracha already past Pesach. So what should we do? Should we insert it in Shema Kolenu like individuals? O kirabim daminu o b'erkas hashanim. Or since the whole country of Nineveh requires rain, perhaps Minog Nineveh should be what? That we say the same Talmud Livracha where? In Baruch Aleinu, for as long as we need it. Shalach Luhu. So I will say, again, this was Rebbe. Rebbe sent back, Ki yechidim damisu b'shamei atfila. You should treat yourself like individuals, and you should insert the same Talmud Livracha in Shomei Atfila. So do not go ahead and insert it in Baruch Aleinu, but rather again in Shema Koleinu. So the Gemara says, and again, the logic behind that seems to be that the tefillos of Eretz Yisrael, the tefillos that we daven are really organized in accordance with the agricultural reality of Eretz Yisrael. So even though in Nineveh you need rain now, that's fine, you can ask for that. Ask that on Shema Koleinu, but the official petitional request for rain goes in accordance with Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, the Gemara raises a kasha. Rabbi Huda says, "A Masai, when is this true?" Bizman Shashonim Navos. Rashi points out of here, "A Masai who Seder Tanios. When do we have this organized type of fast days? Bizman Shashonim Kitiknon V'Yisrael Shurin Alad Masan. When Rabbi said the years are in order. Now, what does it mean the years are in order? Look at Rashi. Bizman Shashonim Kitiknon Shayakotzir Benison Uzvim Mar Cheshvan V'Ein Seder Hashonim Mishtana. We'll say the years in order means the agricultural cycle is in order. For example, we were harvesting in Nisan, planting in Mar Cheshvan. So when do we say that these fast days apply? First of all, the agricultural schedule has to be in order. and you need the majority of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Afal bizman hazeh, but now, hakol lefi hashanim, hakol lefi hamakomos, hakol lefi hazman. Everything goes according to the agricultural cycle of the year. Everything goes according to the various places. And everything goes according to the particular times. Look at Rashi. How Rashi says, hakol lefi hashanim, im tzricha osa shana lamater, kigon shana shechuna, shetzricha legisham harbe. We look at the particular year, what's required for rainfall. Lefi hamakomos, kigon ninve, dafilu betkufas tamuz bonishra. We look at the particular place, like ninve, that requires rain, even during tamuz. So we'll say, what do you see from here? The point that this price is making is it would appear that when it comes to fast days, and by extension, perhaps even the request for him to say talmud libracha, we don't make one. The only time we have one standard approach is when the agricultural season is in order, and when the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael. But if the Jewish people are not in Eretz Yisrael, or the agricultural season is not in order, if you're missing any one of those two, then lemaisa what? It would appear that everyone kind of does their own thing, and does their own thing in terms of fasting for rain, and by extension, we would assume does their own thing for what? For what? For the request of rain, the same Talmud to Livracha as well, which contradicts what Rebbe said to the people of Ninveh. Because what Rebbe said to the people of Ninveh is, look, whatever you need to do, you do, but you do it as individuals. You insert, you need rain in Tamuz, put in Shema Kolenu. At the end of the day, we look at what happens in Eretz Yisrael. This price seems to contradict that. Amarle, Masnisa Ramis Ali de Rebbe. They said, are you bringing a Braisa to contradict Rebbe? Rebbe Tanahu. Rebbe is a Tana. Upalik, Rabbi Yisrael, a Tana can argue on a Braisa. You can't bring a Braisa to refute a Tana, because a Tana could just very easily argue on the Braisa. So my Havyala, so what is the Bible? So what do we do with this? So again, the fundamental question I was asking, which is really quite fascinating, is what happens if I live in a locale that requires rain on a different schedule than Eretz Yisrael? So how do I ask for that rain? So what is the answer? Rav Nachman Amar Bevirkas Hashanim. Rav Nachman said that you ask for it in Barich Aleinu. Rav Shesha says, B'Shamei Atfila. Rav Shesha says, no, you ask for it in Shamei Atfila. V'Hilchasa B'Shamei Atfila. Rav said, the halacha is that if you live somewhere outside of Eretz Yisrael that requires rain later than Eretz Yisrael, you can ask for that, but you ask for that in Shamei Atfila. Rav Shesha, I'll just share with you, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin. Sif Beis. So in Kuf Yod Zayin Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yechidim Hatzrichin Lematar Bimos Achama, if you have individuals who require rain during the summer season, meaning they live in a place that requires rain during the summer season, Ein Sholin Elso Beberkas Hashanim, Elo B'Shomei Atfila. They do not ask it in Baruch Aleinu, rather where do they ask it? In the place where all personal petitional requests go in Shomei Atfila. Va'afilu Ir Gedola Kininveh. Even a large city like Ninveh, O Eretz Achas Kula, or for that matter, even an entire country, Kimo Sfarad Bichlala, O Ashkenaz Bichlala, Spain or Germany, Ki Yechidim Damu, are still reckoned as individuals, B'Shamei Atfila. Ultimately, again, is included in Shamei Atfila. Miuim Be'Eretz Achas Kula, Hatzich Amat Vimav Sachamo, okay, so we don't believe this. So both says, Haloch Lamaisa, this is how we pass down the Gemara ends off, that even if you live in a place where the whole country requires rain later, we still, the entire country will still go ahead and what? Insert it in Shema Kolenu. Essentially, the standard is established by Eretz Yisrael, and anything else is considered like Yechidim. So you'll have an obligation still to pray for rain if you need it, but you'll put it in your personal request in Shema Kolenu. So the Margo's right there. B'sheni matinim chashecha, u'b'chamishi kol hayomim me'kavashah. So also remember again, the Mishnah said, then in the last set of seven fast days, so one of the stringencies we have is that we close the food stores. However, what we do is on Mondays, we go ahead and we literally open the doors of the food stores slightly as it's getting dark. And Chamishi on Thursday, the store is open the entire day because of Kavod Shabbos. So the Marsha says, Boy Luhu, you ask the Kasha. Heichi Katoni. So how exactly are we to understand the statement of the Mishnah? Bebeis matin imchashecha. Do we understand that what the Mishnah is telling us is the following? On Monday, Rabbi will say, matin literally means to slant. What it means is that we don't open the doors of the store fully, but rather we only open them partially. So on Mondays, we open the doors of the store partially towards nightfall. Ubehei kol hayom mipnei kavod Shabbos. And on Thursday, we keep it open the entire day because of Kavod Shabbos. O Dilma, B'sheni matin. Barao said, but that, according to that version, even on Thursday, the doors to the store are only open partially. The difference is, however, they're open the entire day. Old demo, the other possibility is, B'sheni matin. On Monday, we'll go ahead and we'll open the doors slightly to the food stores as it approaches evening. U'b'chamishi poschin kolayom kulo. But on Thursday, what? On Thursday, because of Kavod Shabbos, what happens? The doors are open the whole way, the entire day. So that's the Shaila. Which one is it? So you want to say, Tashma Desanya, B'sheni Matin Ad Ha'erev. On Mondays, remember, we'll say they're fasting on a Monday, Thursday model. That's how these fast days. So Monday, Thursday, Monday. Right? That's how the 13 work out. So the Gemara says the following. So we learned in a race. So B'sheni Matin Ad Ha'erev. On Monday, we go ahead and we open the doors slightly towards the evening. Or we'll say that allows people to buy food for after the fast. I'm sorry. B'sheni Matin Ad Ha'erev. B'sheni matin ad ha'erev u'b'chamishi poschin kol hayom kulo mipnei kavod haShabbos. And on Thursday we open the doors the entire way. We leave the stores wide open the entire day because of kavod haShabbos. Hayu lo shnei pesachim. If the store had two openings, poseach echad v'no echad. You keep one of the entrances open and one of the entrances closed. Hayu lo itzdava. If there was a bench in front of the store opening, can I get pischo? Poseach kedarko, you open up regularly, the any choshesh, and you need not worry, because since the bench obscures a little bit of the opening, so it's considered to be like the opening is only open partially. So we'll say what comes out halacha lemaisa is the way it works is on Mondays, they would open the store towards the evenings, but they wouldn't open the doors fully. They'd only open the doors partially. On Thursdays, because of Kavod Shabbos, people have to do their Shabbos shopping. Therefore, lemaisa, we kept the doors open the entire day. Avru elu v'lo na'anu. Again, if the last set of 7 days passed and still there is no rainfall, so remember again, we already established we are capped at 13 fasts. We are not fasting any more than 13 days. But what do you do? Although you won't continue to fast, you will decrease masumata, business dealings, and building and planting. Tana, binyan shal simcha, netiya shal simcha. What type of building, what type of planting do we diminish? We diminish building of simcha, joyous building, and joyous planting. What does this mean? Ezehu binyan shel simcha. What's an example of joyous building? Zehabona bayis chasnus libno. It refers to someone who builds a wedding home for his son. Also remember what often used to happen, I think it's actually a great chav, is that what people do is instead of spending money on a wedding hall, which if you think about it again, is a huge waste of money. I mean, it's good to get married, it's good to have a wedding hall, but again, you know, you get nothing for that. What they used to do is they would take that money, they would build a house, and they would host the wedding in that house. First of all, it's a great way to keep your guest list small. Mm-hmm. And also, the beautiful part of it is, essentially, what you did, if you imagine, instead of spending the money on the wedding hall, you spend the money on a down payment for a house. You host the wedding in the house, and then everyone goes home. And the beautiful part is what? The chazan and kala have a home. They have a home in which to live in. That's called the binyan shel simcha. So again, if after the 13 fast days elapsed, there was still no rain, lemaisa again, Lemaisa, you would go ahead and you would diminish building of simcha. The Gemara says, Nitiel shel simcha, what's an example of joyous planting? So the Gemara says, Ezo Nitiel shel simcha, Zehanotea Abvarniki shel malachim. This refers to someone who plants the Abvarniki of malachim. So we'll say Rashi points out over here, this Abvarniki, Rashi actually points out a couple of things. It says, Shekacha you know again, Kishnola ben Melech. A beautiful minhag. Rashi says that when the son of a king was born, they would plant a tree in his honor. And on the day that son became king, they would go ahead and cut down that tree and they would make for him a throne from that tree. Rashi gives other interpretations that it's also a type of tree that would go ahead and provide a lot of shade. The idea is it's a non-essential planting. So therefore, again, if it still did not rain, even after the 13 fast days, you would not go ahead, you would cease and desist from this type of building, from this type of planting. Similarly, again, if after the 13 fast days elapsed, there's still no rain, you would diminish the joyous way in which you greet others. Turn around, the rabbis taught, Chaverim ein she'ilas shalom beinehem. So the Braisa teaches that Rav Moshe, so Chaverim refers to Tamidi Chachamim. Tamidi Chachamim would not greet each other. They simply would not greet each other. Meaning, again, this is referring to after the 13 fast days, there's still no rain. So Tamidi Chachamim would take upon themselves not even to greet one another. Ami ha'aretz, so simple folk, shesholin machzirin lohen. However, again, if Tamidi Chachamim were greeted by simple folk, so let's say, again, a simple person so greets a Tamid Chacham, simple person doesn't necessarily know the halacha, the Tamid Chacham should return the greeting, meaning don't be rude. Because even though, again, Tamid Chacham might say, I'm not going to return the greeting because, again, we're in a little bit of a public mourning because there's no fast days, the Ami ha'aretz, the simple person, is not going to understand that the Tamid Chacham is not returning the greeting because of public mourning, but is going to think he's just being rude. Therefore, return the greeting to the Ami ha'aretz. Machzir lahem b'safa rapa. You should return the greeting to him in a low tone. Ubekovid roshin, with a certain degree of solemn behavior. Vehein misatkin v'yoshim ka'avelim. And again, the Tamdi Chachamim would sit and wrap themselves like mourners. Ukimenudin, and like those who are excommunicated. Kibnei Adam hanazufin l'makom, like individuals who literally were chastised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have compassion upon them. So what the Gemara is saying over here is after the 13 fast days elapsed and there's still no rain, Tamidi Chachamim would literally engage in public mourning practices to show the general populace that this is a very serious situation, and clearly also shows that we have fallen out of favor with God. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ein Adam Chashuv Rashai Lipa Apanav. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem with this Gemara tomorrow. We'll start with Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ein Adam Chashuv. All right, stay tuned to your email today for the schedule for tomorrow. It's a long day tomorrow. Wonderful. So figure it out.
Did they stop this public mourning once Nissan came and it was going to stop? Or did they just go on to the next?